Okay, sit up in class now. Come on, boys. Here we go. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ab Fab, a.k.a. Ab Flab, a.k.a. The Slut.
Do you have to talk like this? It's
yes. Slobber the Slut. It's
vulgar.
Absolutely appalling.
Right, okay. Here we are. We know, again, we already know that Steve's on, so we don't have to introduce him. Say hello, Stats.
Hello. Hope we're all well this evening. Oh, don't forget our lovely listeners.
Listener.
The greetings. No, there's two now.
Two. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, I've bribed someone else to listen.
So. There you go. And to that lovely guy, the gazelle, a.k.a. Trevor Nichols, the man with the grace, the man with the articulation to make pauses wherever they should be and not be.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And
there I'm you sorry, go.
One of my customers today, Jay, and she said, I can see why they call you the gazelle. It's obvious, she said. And I'd like to know, I should say, that we've actually got three listeners now because I bought one again last week.
Oh, brilliant. All right. Is it that guy from Pakistan?
Yeah, we're absolutely flying at the moment. Yeah.
That guy in that call centre, the one that scams the old ladies over here.
Mustafa, his name.
That's it. Mustafa, yes. Listen.
Mustafa, listen. And he said, I'll tune in every week from now on from Bangladesh. So we're there, we've got him.
And Steve is looking so... I don't know what I'm listening to here. Steve, we know that you're on. Just say hello, quickly.
Well, I'm not going to just say hello. I'm going to say good evening to all our fabulous listeners out there and you guys here as well, of course. But I'm going to say fabulous, great week ahead of wishing everybody, all our listeners in Cheshire and across the world. And I've got a little something to put to them, actually, which is a little point of interest because I hear that possibly, although I can't believe it myself, that the Dalai Lama is into gambling because apparently he does love to bet. Now...
Yeah,
and also on
at least he remembers the punchlines these days.
Right at the beginning of the show.
Slightly more serious note, to be honest with you, that I believe the inventor of spaghetti has passed away. So it's sad. Anyway, I'm wishing everybody a great week ahead.
Happy
New Year. We'll keep the Happy New Year bit going right through the year. It doesn't have to be just January the 1st. Why Passed just be happy away. On January the 1st?
Passed That's boring. All right, okay, let's get on with the roundup. Thank you very much for those, quote, jokes, unquote, Steve.
Come on, well, I did some laughter in, John.
That would be the thing to do, wouldn't it? No. Anyway, okay, with the first story. Right. Calls for Archbishop to resign over links to Paula Venables. Now, you actually know who she is. She was the woman who headed up the post office during that great big scandal, the Post Office Horizon scandal. Now, nobody knows what the conversations that went on between them because it hasn't come up and he hasn't been called in at all to the inquiry. But the one thing that I found out was... that Paula Venables was considered for the position of Bishop of London. Yeah, Bishop, I know that would get some shocked looks.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know about the post office scandal. I took a jiffy bag in there today, full with some little items. £4.21 to post it. That is a scandal. I'm telling you, £4.21 to post a letter.
Yeah, well, wow. This is the state of things. Now, I was surprised that she'd even been considered for the Bishop of London's position. So, after doing a little bit of research, I got this little piece.
Until Wednesday.
The Right Reverend David Wilborn, the Honorary Assistant Bishop of York. And this is what he had to say about it. He said, "Sir, anyone familiar with the history of the Church of England should not be surprised that Paula Venables almost became Bishop of London in 2017. In 1724, Lancelot Blackburn was appointed Archbishop of York, despite having been a pirate in the Caribbean. Okay, now carry on listening. He was a pirate in the Caribbean, but he was appointed Archbishop of York.
Good gang.
From 1732 until his death in office in 1743, no ordinations whatsoever took place, performing a rare confirmation at St. Mary's in Nottingham. He was ejected by the vicar, who took exception to the bored archbishop attempting to light a pipe and down a pint during the service. Definitely one for the ladies, Blackburn dug a tunnel from his deanery in Exeter to a nearby canon's house so that he could sport with his wife. As the satirist William Donaldson quipped, his behaviour was seldom of the standard expected of a cleric. In fact, it was seldom of the standard expected of a pirate. if they were willing to make Paul of Venables a Bishop of London after all of that stuff.
There's hope for you.
Well, they've got a precedent there, you know, so I just thought I'd pass that on to you.
Yeah, well, they haven't, because, I mean, a woman bishop, they've got to make a bishop of where is it?
A Bishop of London. No less.
The Bishop of London. Well, that puts an absolute twist on bashing the bishop, doesn't it? That's blocked that completely out the water.
I'm not commenting on that one.
That's blown that completely out of the water.
Well, following on from that, the post office could change accounts on the Horizon system remotely and without the postmaster's knowing from 2001, the whistleblower claims.
Yeah, so my letter today will go down to £1.21, won't it, I suppose, when it's actually figured through. Yeah, we're always paying for that then, don't we? That is a scandal again.
Well, okay, here's the next one. Middle East tinderbox threatens to explode as Pakistan Air Force launches airstrikes on Iran at militant targets. It says are behind missiles that killed two children. How about that?
Yeah,
Pakistan.
Pakistan attacking Iran. Yeah, what's that about? I can't get my head around that one. I've not seen the story on that yet.
Big fight between Sunni and Shia.
Oh, right. Well, he was in the 60s, wasn't he? Because he left her. Apparently, he hit her.
Sunni and Shia.
That's what he's on about.
No.
Yeah, he hit her or something. He used to beat her up. That's why she left him.
Sonny and Cher. God.
Sounds like she's invested in some nuclear weapons, missiles to fight back.
I don't know. Don't blame her.
Shia and Sunni Muslims. Big fights always gone on.
Everyone hates Iran.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Nobody wants them. Nobody likes them.
Nope.
Especially the Shah of Iran.
You'll have to hang on a second.
Why?
I've lost the picture there.
Oh, well. Where's he gone here? Where's he gone? Oh,
he looks like Kilroy. Oh, if only the public could actually see this. I might actually show it and say this is the man who believes in technology here. Oh my word. That's too much detail. We don't want to be seeing the underbelly of your computer. Thank you. We're moving on. Alec Baldwin is charged with involuntary manslaughter for rust shooting by New Mexico grand jury.
Yeah, that's where he's gone then, Annie. I've not seen him in Coronation Street for years.
I'm trying to find... Ah, there we go. Wait there.
What's he doing now?
We don't need all of that stuff that you're talking about. I'm not editing that out either, Steve.
Oh, my God.
Wait there. The support on this show is overwhelmingly non-existent, really.
Moving on. Okay. And the last one here. Could William be the first monarch since so long not to be the head of the church?
No.
What do you reckon? Do you reckon he's
gone
along?
He said
he doesn't go to church that often, so he's considering not being the head of the Church of England.
Well, I'll do it.
You'll do it.
Actually, to be quite honest with you, just digressing slightly for a moment, if I was going to start over again, I think I would become a vicar.
Oh, that would be
I'd quite enjoy that, to be quite honest with you. In fact, one of the sad things about being a vicar, really, is the fact that you'd have to officiate funerals and things like that, although there's some which would be more enjoyable than others, clearly.
Indeed, yeah, especially the political funerals, yeah.
Well, you know, it's what it is, isn't it? But no, I think that sort of life would be quite agreeable to
oh, would it? Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, that's something.
I think you've got the look of a vicar, actually.
Yep. I think also, I think a Catholic priest, you'd have to give up a few other things there.
Definitely. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
I don't really think it matters. His dad doesn't defend the faith he's meant to anyway, so.
No, I finished with that guy. I just do not understand. He's supposed to be protecting the church and his people. The guy is just...
The thing is, he doesn't have to follow it, but his job is to protect it. So.
Correct.
No. As well as a lot of other things which they don't protect. But
did he not take an oath to do that?
Yes, he did.
So...
Keep taking the money, though.
They all keep taking these oaths and totally ignoring them.
Like all the police.
I keep taking me oaths every morning. I have porridge every morning.
Oh, dude, yeah. And you're doing porridge, as we know. Okay, let's move on to the national. And this is a very, very sad story. And I'm just going to open it up and then I'm going to let Steve move on it. Here we go. Horror as gorgeous toddler Bronson Battersby is left to die of starvation next to his dead father. And due to that, the police force have referred itself to the watchdog after welfare concerns were reportedly raised with them a week before bodies were found. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I saw this like everybody else in the press recently. And I have to say, I've reflected on this quite a bit. I think we covered a story similar to where an elderly lady was found in London after quite some time, about a year ago or so, I think, if I remember right. And we covered a lot of issues surrounding that, you know. And it's a young chap, and I just want to sort of comment first of all on how sad this is, the passing of a young toddler, Bronson Battersby, 2-year-old little lad. And he was found after he was left to die from starvation, having been found or killed next to his father who died. Mr. Battersby was a chap who had heart conditions and he'd been suffering from severe jaundice for a good few months. So clearly there was health issues and various things going on there. And he was found on the 9th of July next to his father. And I don't know what to say about this, really. I don't really know where to start other than the fact that what we're going to see is theatre played out, the usual sort of situations where the authorities in various ways make the comments that they have, which are all out there in the press. And
what, like lessons to be learned?
Well, I don't really want to sort of use that phrase, but it undoubtedly, I suspect it will emerge at some point. And he was found on the 9th of July, and there was a few visits by social services on the 2nd and the 4th of July, and then he was discovered, or they were discovered on the 9th. And referrals had been made to Lincolnshire Police.
Can I just correct you? It's not July the 9th, it's January the 9th.
Did I say July? Sorry, yeah. It's January the 9th.
January the 9th, go ahead.
And, sorry, I've lost the connection here. I have to say, I find situations like this, you know, we can talk about the semantics, and I'm sure there's going to be a multi-agency investigation into this, and the police have referred themselves to the IOPC. And social services that will be going through various processes. Nobody's been suspended, I understand, but a social worker has allegedly volunteered to take time off. I find things like this, I look at it from a different perspective in many ways, because first and foremost, the thing that comes to my mind is that a 2-year-old boy has died here. His father's died, and subsequently, as a result of many things which will come to light, I'm sure. So I don't really want to comment too much on the semantics of what may or may not have gone on, because I don't think that's appropriate at this time, in my view. I'm coming from the perspective that as a system of government and government agencies and communities and as a country, I'm beginning to wonder exactly where we are going. Because the bottom line is, a man has lost his life through ill health, and subsequently, because of whatever has taken place, a two-year-old boy who was in his care has been found dead through starvation good period of time after that. I dread to think what was going through that little lad's mind, wondering what was going on whilst he was slowly starving to death, probably cold in the process. I dread to think. I'm beyond words, really, in terms of our system as a whole. And everybody will be wanting to sort of fill the report in, look at what's gone on, and come out with all of those phrases that we're all too familiar with. For me, this is a very sad indication of an entire country that is just falling to bits when we have situations like this in what is supposed to be a very dynamic economy, a very wealthy country, and in many ways we're supposed to be the epitome of Western life, for which many nations supposedly look up to. Well, yeah. I wouldn't see this as an example of anything to look up to. So I don't really know what else to say other than I find it incredibly bewildering in a modern nation that we're now going backwards to this extent.
Trevor, go ahead.
We are going backwards. Totally agree with that, Steve. And again, I just want to echo what Steve said, but I just want to just pull Jonathan up first on the... They've reported themselves to the Watchdog.
Yep.
Yeah, so Watchdog. I mean, that sets an image, that, doesn't it? It's a watchdog that's got no teeth. They're basically, you know, marking their own homework again. I don't see anything ever coming out of those anyway. I wouldn't say watchdog, I'd say more pussies. But I don't want to joke on this particular thing. I mean, it's a terrible tragedy. I mean, who do we blame? I mean, that's extremely difficult. You know, there's so many different areas to cover here. And again, I will just echo what Steve said. I'm afraid this is just a sign of this sad country.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
I can't say anymore. I'm shocked with it.
Oh, I've got plenty to say. I mean, I know we don't know the full details yet, but I'm going to be honest. I'm actually amazed that the mother didn't have contact with her two-year-old son for over a week, especially knowing that the father had health issues. It was Christmas and New Year. I don't know. I just, the number one person, in my opinion, that should be looking after the child is its mother.
Yeah.
But we don't really know the details. So I just want to look at the bigger picture, because this is where it could evolve. So currently we've got 1 in 6 children who are living in a home which their parents have their own vulnerabilities. So I've worked out that's approximately 2.1 million children. Now that's a lot of children that may or may not be at risk. The amount of children needing help and protection as a result of risks to their development or health in 2023 was 403,000. And you've got 51,000 children who were on protection plans. So I really think we need to take this seriously now and take this warning. What we need to work out is why so many kids are in need of care, and how can we possibly prevent some of this from happening, and how to better protect those who are vulnerable. We've got to make sure that we're not discussing this in 20 years' time again when it's been ignored and spirals out of control. So I've been looking into the children in social care and stuff, so hopefully we might have some answers on this. But again, this links to local finances, local council finances,
yep.
Because adult and social care are on the rise. Something needs to be done about this, and fast. It might just be one boy now. Well, that's too many, to be honest.
That's one too many, yeah.
But with all these people and all these checks going on and all this stuff, this can't be allowed to spiral out of control like all the other stuff we've been talking about recently, grooming gangs, post office, on and on and on and on. It never ends.
But where does
seriously from the word go?
Where does community come into it? Because,
well, that was my final point, John. Because remember the day when everybody used to know their neighbours, and if you hadn't seen them for a while, you'd be wondering why.
You'd ask, yeah.
There's no community anymore with, well, I'd say, with the homogenous people, to be honest. Apart from in rural towns, you've got nothing in the built-up areas. Half the people don't even know your neighbours anymore.
That's true.
It's just not good. I don't think this would have happened maybe 30, 40 years ago. Not in the place I've lived anyway. You know?
Well, yeah, but it didn't happen 30, 40 years ago, did it, Mark?
No.
No. People knew.
Not to my knowledge, no.
People knew. My big question is, if this man knew and people knew of his health condition, for somebody just to be able to, you know, have a heart attack like that, was there any foreknowledge of his health condition at all?
We don't know. That's yet. Do question. We really some of the details?
Let me bring Steve in there. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, apparently he was, because of his heart condition, he was suffering severe jaundice for a few months, according to the report. But you've hit on a point there. You're talking about community, and I think this is a big issue, actually, because we've talked about this on many occasions, I think, if I remember right. Now, noises were heard in the report. It mentions that noises were heard on the 1st of January where this young lad was allegedly calling for his daddy. And yet, seemingly, and then all of a sudden, these calls, they stopped at some point. And but nobody went to check. This was the 1st of January. And then social services called on the 2nd and the 4th. But nobody raised the issue of this little lad being hurt. So I don't know whether that was due to initiating the social services going round. But they went on the 2nd and the 4th, but he was found along with his father dead on the 9th. I just find it incredible now, do we really know each other anymore? Is an interesting point in my view and a concerning one. Have our housing estates now become mere places for investors to buy housing to rent out, where people come and go on a continuous basis, in and out of properties, and that communities, if you can call them anymore, are now becoming so fluid that people don't actually know each other anymore. And the ones that are there were just so fixated by living in little boxes and not speaking to each other anymore.
Trevor, go ahead.
Yeah, just I want to bring one point up there that sprang to mind with me. My next door but one neighbour had a stroke. He's only about his second stroke now, actually, Alf. And lots of people in the community have been asking me, because obviously I've been here one of the longest and Alf's been here the longest. And I've actually gone in there, I've checked out. I've got a message off his social workers, actually. And I went in and I cleaned all his house for him. All his carpets for him before, because he wouldn't let him alone, because obviously it had to be cleaned up, etc. So there is still a community spirit out there, just, and I mean just, but I had around definitely 5, 6, 7 people continually asking me about Alf. So that was good.
Yeah.
So we're not quite, in the gutter yet. But we're certainly on the edge of the pavement. Let's put it that way. I do agree, but that happened in my community, so I do want to just clear that up.
Go ahead, Mark. Sum this up, and we'll move on to the local.
I just hope again this gets dealt with properly, and then they look into how to prevent this further. I just don't want social workers blaming police blaming the social workers. 20 years later, then we find out some details, and then it's a scandal, and it's happened to more kids, because that's how all these things start.
Yeah, indeed.
But just as a finishing note, and another sad thing was the house got burgled. I think a day or two after.
Yes.
The deaths, and someone stole his wallet and some jewelry or something. It's just people. Now, there's some despicable people on this planet.
Absolute
scum. And if we can get them out this country, the quicker the better. Whoever they are, I don't care.
Okay, well, a very sad story. Let's move on, because this is another sad story. But it's something that we can have a little bit of jibe of humor about. Tell me something. Cheshire East Council says they're not at risk of going bankrupt, says councillor. Who wants to go on this one first?
Yeah, well, we know all about councillors, don't we? Me more so than most, I should say.
Indeed, right?
And well, I just want to say that, what is it, Cheshire East, is it? There was sent. I mean, that's just, for me, that's just the chicken feed council.
I know, basically. 13 million they say their debts are, and they've got 14.1 million in reserves. I mean, you know,
I've this got is... that in me blaming my Irish lottery fund. 13 million.
With Warrington nearly 1.8 billion going on, over 2 billion in debt. That is chicken feed.
But we've nearly made losses. In fact, we've made more losses than 13 million, I'll have you know. Now, Warrington.
Just some of the investments.
Hey, that's just some of them. We're not even started yet. Now, Warrington is third highest in the country's debt list. We are Premier League, baby. Okay. This Macclesfield...
The North rules. Okay. We've got the biggest bankrupt councils. Birmingham, get lost.
Get lost.
Okay. Thurrock, get lost.
We've not even gone bush yet, and we're up to 1.8 million.
Actually, I might get caught on that one because Thurrock do have quite a massive, massive debt, but go on.
I'm going to go into this a little bit later because stats can probably help with this one. When I ask, maybe we'll ask a question later. The Macclesfield councillor congratulates his office.
Macclesfield?
Macclesfield.
Are they German run? Macclesfield.
No, it's Austrian. It's Austrian. The Macclesfield councillor congratulated the officers on bringing down the predicted overspend. So it can be done.
Oh, yes.
So it can be done. Now, there's a common denominator here. Stats can probably help with this. The common denominator in all these councils seems to be Labour. Yeah. Not all of them.
No, I looked into the six or seven that had gone there, that had the notice. I think the only two of them were Labour.
Only two? No way.
Yeah.
Well,
no way.
Well, look into it. I think you'll find it wasn't all Labour.
So the other one was Liberal, and the other one was...
I can't quite remember. There was Conservative.
Oh, no. As far as we're concerned, they're all Labour. I don't care. Conservative, they're all Labour.
I think we'll have a recount on that. Yeah. Who were Thurrock? Thurrock used to be, UKIP used to be massive in Thurrock for councillors.
That's right.
He still didn't hold the place, though. He couldn't even win the election, could he?
No. They didn't hold it, but they were certainly massive around that area. So I'm just wondering.
You didn't see that. You didn't see that. Mrs. Ingram came in with really angry. Right? And he was so like, he looked like this, he was so submissive.
What have you done, Steve? What
we
haven't
saw
you done?
That, yeah. Can't hear you, you've muted yourself.
Ah, well.
I'm trying to, I'm not going there, moving on.
He's not turned on the slow cooker, has he? There's no tea.
You're dead meat. Go ahead, go on, sorry, I interrupted there. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I finished there. I mean, on about dead meat. I mean, if vegetarians are so good.
Yeah.
Sorry, if vegetables are so good, can you explain to me why vegans are always trying to make them taste like meat? That's weird, that. I just thought to throw that in then.
Vegetarian chicken drumsticks.
Yeah. That.
Vegetarian.
Wait, yeah, I diversified.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back to chicken feed, you see. That's back to chickens.
Chickens.
I mean, you know, Chester Council, catch up.
Okay.
You know, we've not even got bush yet, and we're 1.8 billion and counting.
Yeah.
Our losses are bigger than most of their debts.
Tell you. Warrington are leading. They're leading. The North is leading in this. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to make a prediction. I don't think Warrington are too far behind these other councils. I don't think it's long until they get the S114 notice.
That's it, the section 114.
But what we keep saying recently is the likes of all these councils that have gone bust, it's got to start somewhere. And where did it start? Tens of millions, hundreds of millions.
Yep.
I think we can see the cracks appearing here. But why, again, the blame in social care, which links back to the story we've just discussed.
Costs now, of adult and social care, yeah. But
rather than Labour playing the blame game, oh, it's the Tories and funding, maybe we should be doing what I said earlier and finding out what's wrong with child social care and social care and start opening up the question.
Why is it so expensive? Yeah,
why so many? Plus, how can we care for the children better so they aren't vulnerable and in need of care? Surely we can lower that number rather than it increasing and arguing over the funding.
Yeah.
So again, I've looking into that a little bit, but it's going to be interesting because does immigration play a part? Because surely more
well,
people
yeah,
in the country
got to, because
leads
if you,
to more children
if
and
you,
more
if you feed
more
in Rochdale and Telford and those other grooming gangs and those things, because those kids were all young. They were vulnerable.
Well, this is what I've been looking into, and I don't think the politically correct types are going to like what I've found. But this is going to be an interesting one. So when Labour are in, no doubt they're going to open the floodgates, aren't they, and raise the population, while simultaneously they're going to complain about lack of money and people being poor. Let's take the positives from a Labour government, if that's possible. Isn't it going to be fun to see who they blame for this lack of local funding when it's their turn to fund it?
Yeah.
What are they going to do, all these things like frontline stuff, NHS, all that? Are they going to cut that to cover social care? I doubt it. So my guess is going to be they're going to borrow even more money than the fake cons, and the economy will be even more destroyed. Who are they going to blame them? I'm just looking forward to watching these, sorry, piss poor socialists run the country.
I'm going to bring Trevor in on that one. But Labour have said that they are going to borrow.
Yeah.
But whether that borrowed money, which they're borrowing to actually help develop the economy, is going to be ring-fenced for those intentions, I don't know. Go ahead, Trevor.
Yeah, one of the major problems we've got is that I don't really see them. I mean, obviously, you've seen it in the news, but all these dinghies that are arriving in Dover or wherever they're arriving, they're all being shipped in. And we've got all these 11 and 12-year-olds with beards that are being put straight in to the children's care centres. Now, that must be taking a load of money, that.
Yeah.
Because they've got them in there, and when they do the teeth check recognition, they're all 27, but they've all got beards and they all say they're 11. So that's putting extra resources onto the community.
Onto the administration.
You're right. It's just, we want more money, 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 money. Now, how about fix the problem? Why you keep needing more money? Something's not right again. And it kind of, as I said, it links to the first story. It's just, they'll leave it and leave it, and you can't buy your way out of stuff like this.
No.
These councils aren't good. They're not going to get more money.
Well, they're
that's
hoping
what they're
to
do.
Do. That's what they ever do. They throw money at the problem and they don't realise that they have to actually.
You need to look at why that problem's increasing and try and decrease it. It's simple, really. But, these are simple people
root.
Can't even. Yeah,
I was having a conversation with somebody online the other day, a lady who kept saying, well, it's all to do with the underfunding of the councils. It's all down to the government. It's their fault because the council. I said, hang on 1 minute, right? Why are some councils doing okay?
Yep.
And why are some councils not doing okay? Wigan froze their council tax for 7 years. And they put it up last year for the first time. 7 years.
Yeah.
They all get pro rata. They all get the same money off the government.
Mm-hmm.
So why are some failing and some aren't?
Yeah.
And she went, oh, I'm not going to discuss this because I don't want to get into an argument. I said, I'm not arguing. You started it. She put up the debate. I joined in with the debate. And then as soon as you start pointing out the errors of her particular subject.
Run away.
They run away. She said, I don't want an argument. I said,
they're in denial.
I'm just actually telling you what's happening. Can you explain to me why some councils, manage and some don't? It's mismanagement. That's what it is.
They're in denial. They don't want to admit it's bad management. Don't blame the Tories. I would love to see them
blame
the Tories.
I'd
love to see them blame the Tories next year when it's their mess.
Yep.
Yeah, but the thing is, everybody blames, when everybody tries to raise a subject or whatever, they always shoot the messenger, don't they? They don't want to have the discussion because they say, oh, you're arguing, you're causing trouble, you're doing this, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, when does anybody anymore have a sensible conversation about solving something? When does anybody just stop and take stock of where we're at? We're going
Parliament,
around...
PMQs.
No. It goes to something more. We've covered this many times.
Select committees.
No. You're missing the point here, John. The thing is...
Watchdogs.
We're looking, as a society now, constantly looking for solutions to problems.
What we're actually looking for is accountability.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What we're actually looking for is Reform UK.
Someone with a brain. Some people with brains, maybe. That's what we're looking for.
Perhaps. Cowards. If everybody stopped and looked at why everything in every area of society now is a complete and utter mess, and everybody got back to, and dare I say that phrase, but I will, traditional values, because this country is, in my view, morally and ethically bankrupt. We're talking about financial bankruptcy here. This country has lost its way. We were talking earlier on about who is going to be the head of the church. Well, you know, are we going to have a church anymore? Do people use the churches? Do people believe in the church? I want to stay with this for a minute because it's important. Because
not too long, because we got to sum up.
Yeah, well, we've got the next bishop in the mosque. That's what I want to know.
Fact of the matter is, we've got no format upon which anything is based anymore as a cornerstone to provide any kind of guidance.
Because after 13 years of conservative rule, all they've done is sown the seeds of division.
No, you can go back to Labour, you can go back to the Conservatives before that, and Labour before that, whatever. That is a misnomer to some degree in terms of the state.
13 years is long enough for anybody to help destroy a country.
This country hasn't been destroyed in 13 years. I'm not excusing what
they could have done something to actually fix the problems.
Well, the point I'm making here, John, is it rises a little bit on the next level above that, which is the state of the thinking of the nation as a whole, because we cannot expect now any political party, I don't care what anybody says, any political party, any political policy making to solve the sheer scale and size of the moral deficiency of this country. It goes way beyond that, and it starts by people looking in the mirror, and it starts by people applying a different way of living.
Okay, Mark, come on, sum this up and let's move it on.
Yeah, I'm going to start a book on this one. I'm going to take bets. Who's going to be the first Cheshire Council to go bankrupt? I think I'm just going to... Warrington are probably the worst odds on this one.
No, I reckon it's going to be Cheshire West. They're a little sneaky dog, that one.
Clear outsiders, John. The favourite's got to be Warrington, I'm afraid.
I claim that one.
I'm taking bets.
February, and we still got time, plenty of time.
We'll give you 1-5 on Warrington.
I'd go along with that. I'd
change that. 1-10.
So what is it going to be on Cheshire West? 7-2?
I'd go a bit bigger than that.
No, I'd say about 10-1.
Let's just dream up some new taxes.
It's coming, but not just yet. I think Cheshire East probably coming second.
Well, I think we want to find out whether or not all the taxi drivers in Cheshire actually speak English. Want to know? Okay. Because I want to drive a taxi. I want to be an Uber guy. Where are you going? Chaka, 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 chaka.
It's all right, because the sat-nav has a language converter, so they're fine.
That's right. What did he say? Taka, 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 taka. Where you going?
Write down your street and he types it into his thing. Problem solved.
Did you ever see that Family Guy with Peter? Mm. Peter actually became an Uber driver. You know, and he walks in and it's suit for his interview. And he says, "You're now an Uber driver." And then the next minute, he's got an open shirt with a big medallion on it. And he's going, "Where you go? Taka, 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 taka."
Well, one word of advice from experience of someone I spoke to, probably don't get Uber to pick you shopping up from Asda.
Okay.
Yes. She might not see it. There's a bit of a spate of this going on, and Asda aren't that bothered.
Yeah.
They'll refund you, but hey-ho, just food, innit?
Well, there you go. Trevor, last one, go on.
Last one, this is gospel truth again. I've got a taxi.
Did you get it from The Guardian? If it's gospel, it's got to come from The Guardian.
Yep.
Yep, our Warrington Guardian it was. I rang a taxi and he turned up and I said, "Over to Causeway, mate." And he set off. We was playing darts and he set off, Mark, and he went down the old Liverpool Road and said, whoa, where are you going, mate? Causeway. He said, "Wolvespool Causeway, Bridgefoot." Oh, you said Causeway. I said, what do you mean I said Causeway? Yeah, Wurlispool Causeway. It's near Bridgefoot. Oh, it's your accent. My accent. I swear to you.
Your local accent.
My accent. Your local accent, he said.
I lived in Warrington. Never had a problem with your accent.
Yeah, just saying. I thought, are you joking or what? He was winding me up. He was checking me.
Well, I can't understand a word of your Warringtonian accent there, Trevor. I think you need to learn some good English.
Actually, someone called me cock and I was like, you what? It's on the bounce. And then someone said, you come in the chipper. And I was like, what the hell's that?
Chipper.
Far from that, it was all right.
Chipper.
Well, there we go. Okay, Stevie, no language barriers here. Get to the bar.
No, I've told you. Wait there. I'm fed up.
Oh, no, he's going to show his empty wallet now.
I'm saving up for a new bike. The frame alone is £650 just for the frame. There are no wheels or any, just the frame, that is.
Is that right?
I'm afraid to say you'll have to get your own drinks in because I'm building a very specific bike with very specific components.
Does it mean that when you get on your bike, you're going to carry on cycling away into the distance?
Well, it'd be very nice to do that, actually, to be quite honest.
I think the way that your missus looked at you before, she'd like you to ride off into the distance. We saw her face.
I tried to phone up and just say, I've got a form here, which I filled the form in for one of the neighbours. I won't go into the details. You don't need to know that.
What was it about, Steve? What was the form about,
Steve? Yeah,
what
was the form about, Steve?
Tell us, Steve.
Well, this is taking up too much of the time now.
Was it a woman neighbour? Was it?
Was it female?
Look, I'm not getting the drinks in because I'm saving up for a bike. So you have to get your own drinks, and that's it.
Okay. All right, everybody except Steve, to the Travs. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah,
I'm
baby.
Already there.
All right, any quotes, anything like that, let's go with it. Come on, shout out, shout downs, let's move it on.
Yes, I've got a shout down, actually, and then I've got something I'd like to say as well.
No, you can't. Just get the shout down. We want to end the show. This is not going to be an hour. We've got to get on with it.
On your bike.
Just stop talking for once and give your tonsils a rest. Oh, my God.
Where you want to go?
I'm trying to say something proper and nice here for once.
Chop, chop.
Go on, get
a little smoke causeway, please.
I read something.
You ordered Domino's.
Where you going, Galway?
Come on, Steve, we want to get finished.
Come on, waiting.
Every time I talk, Elton up there, starts yakking away. Why aren't you naked? Stop. I'm trying to say something nice here. I read this, and this is by this chap whose his name I can't remember, but I've read a few things by him and seen some of these things online, actually. Very interesting chap. Talks a lot about your spiritual purpose. And he says this. He says, be great, powerful and mighty by remembering you are a spiritual being with dignity, direction and purpose. And I think everybody should attempt to live their lives by remembering that and who exactly you are, because to be quite honest with you, as I have a greater understanding of who I am in life as I get older, it is why, being slightly serious for a moment, I fear no organisation, no individual, and I fear nothing. So there you go. And by the way, my little shout-down is to poor quality bicycle components. So there you go.
Okay. All right.
Pretty quick.
That was worth the wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Gazelle.
Yeah, just a quick quote, if I may. So if I make you breakfast in bed, all I need is a simple thank you. Not all this, how did you get in my house, nonsense. And just another quick one. I'm not saying that I don't like you. I'm just saying that I would unplug your life support to make a pot of coffee.
Very good. Don't spare the electric, baby. All right, Mark, go ahead.
Are we allowed to tell Paddy jokes? No, yeah. I swear that, actually. And I'll do a shout-out instead. Don't want to upset anyone. Do you know what? I'll do a shout-out to Catherine Birbal-Singh for actually standing up to religious zealots. Yep. She just wants to run a good school. Well, there's a certain section of the community, so we say. They weren't happy with that, and they're never happy about anything. So she's being taken to court. I think she was at Michaela Community School she runs.
That's right.
That's one of the best rated Ofsted schools for a reason.
Yeah.
Because people don't go missing three times a day, four times a day.
And they get down and pray to, they learn.
She's not let. She doesn't want anyone to pray. It's not a specific religion she's picking on. Yeah. But there's always one that has to be the victim.
Yeah. Well, that's what I went wrong when I was at school, because every time I bunked off, I never found religion. If I'd have found a religion for an excuse for never being there, that'd have been brilliant.
You found a packet of cigarettes and a smoke at the end of the field.
Yeah, it just didn't do me any good at all. If I'd have been praying to the great Dalai Lama, or whatever his name is.
Dalai Lama.
That's him. I thought it was Lana.
Dalai Lama.
Yeah, he's into gambling. He loves to bet.
Oh, God.
Is what? Well, you can't tell the same joke twice.
That's it. I'm not having any more of this. That's it.
It's got to be a mute.
Yeah, no. A mute. It's got to be a goodbye. All right, say goodbye, Steve, now, quickly. Bye.
I will say goodbye in my own good time. I'll go last.
No, you won't.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Gazelle, say goodbye.
I'm having no more of this muting business.
Oh, what? What are you going to do? You're going to, like, go off?
Mute. I just won't come on in again. It just seems I've had enough of this stupid nonsense. I'm having none of it. You can get your act together and sort yourself out.
Tell you what, when he was out viking, out and about, and viking and pillaging and all that lot, I bet there was a load of that mutiny on the bounties.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mutiny every time.
Be a mutiny thank on you, the Cheshire Matters, HMS Cheshire Matters soon.
Hey, Steve,
did someone nick your bike, Steve?
Good night to all our listeners.
I've got four bikes.
Excuse me.
What's the matter now?
Thank you. Had to say good night. We start butting in.
Yeah.
Well, you butt in on me all the time, so I'm just giving this somebody back. It's about time you stop.
Thank you, landlord.
That's it.
Good night. Good night. Oh, he's off again. Hang on. Oh, his dummy's gone. His dummy's gone again. He's gone.
I've just seen a rattle get thrown out of his pram. See that?
All right. Okay. Say good night, Mark.
Good night. Well, I tell you what, that's a lesson learned. Don't leave your bike outside the shop in Blaken. Yeah.
Well, don't leave your bike outside Steve's either.
Absolutely brilliant.
Do you want to say good night now, Trev? Now he's gone.
Yeah, thank God for that. That's all I can say to get rid of Steve. Good night, everybody. And thank you for listening to this podcast again.
Indeed.
And I hope you enjoyed it. And the little, there was a sad section in the middle, but, you know, let's hope we entertained you.
I just want to say.
Steve's joke's made up for it.
Yeah. Thank God. A Christian God. That's all over. Thank you. Mm. All righty. Well, that's it.
Sack that Wellesby fella anyway. He's useless.
Useless. Yeah. Useless Eustace.
Anti-Christian. Well, bye-bye.
Steve's going to be sitting there thinking, they're going to be missing me. Oh, no, not really.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, we're not. I've got this little bottle. Look at that. You're making...